May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the waters of baptism, Mom Mary Rose died with Christ and rose with him to new life. May she now share with him eternal glory. In baptism, Mary Rose received the sign of the cross. May she now share in Christ's victory over sin and death. Please join in the opening hymn.
Number 709, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 709.
Let us pray. O God, Almighty Father, our faith professes that your Son died and rose again. Mercifully grant that through this mystery, your servant Mary, who has fallen asleep in Christ, may rejoice to rise again through him, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples. On this mountain he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all. He will not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me begin by offering my condolences to my brothers and sisters all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, the brothers and sisters of my mom, Mary, whom, and all you friends who have known her like a sister, my condolences. It is appropriate to mourn the loss of goodness, but we don't grieve in an unhealthy way, but in a hopeful way, confident that she lived ready to be where she was meant to be. My brother, Monsignor Tom, said the other day, "Mom always rooted for the underdog." Now I know why I'm the one preaching. Last night when all the brothers and sisters were sharing, I had a flashback to the first time I had to do academics. It's before school. We didn't have 3 years of school before we started third grade, so we would go to the library and have a test to assess if we were ready. And when I was 5, I drove the pickup to fix fence. Didn't spend time reading or learning how to write. So when they said, take the piece of paper and write your name on the line at the top. And I'm like, what's that? So I looked at the one beside me and tried to write the same letter they did. And then the one on the other side and then the other side. And I kind of thought, well, that's kind of what my homily could be. I could take a part of this and a part of that and try to put it all together. But instead, I didn't do that. I asked the Lord to help me to know what He once said about Mary Rose. So what came to me is, obviously, her mother Mary, the mother of God, who is also mother of the church, in this image of Jesus calling his apostles. And the apostles weren't perfect. There was a doubter, one who betrayed. There was a zealot, kind of like Gary. Then there was the emphatic and convicted one that always knew better, like Tom. Our family could be an analogy for the apostles and the church as a whole. We hear that we are one body in Christ. I learned early as a pastor to call people to see the church as family. And it didn't seem to work real well because a lot of people didn't like their family. Their family wasn't like ours. I always compared other families to ours and I said, that's not fair. Those families don't have my mother and father and brothers and sisters. We've been blessed in a unique way. And it wasn't given to us for ourselves. It was meant to be shared. And Mom knew that well. That's why there's 700 or so people here. Not just her family, but everyone who considers her family and encountered her as a mother that loved them for who they were, not for what they did or didn't do. What a beautiful thing. So often we get caught in this idea of comparing or matching up. And to compare myself to many of my brothers and sisters, I would always lack. I think Tom and I are the middle two. They always said the middle children were neglected. I never felt that way. Because I was the oldest of the second half. He was the youngest of the first. So we grew up together. And if you know my brother Tom, I experienced it again as we planned. He's got a brilliant mind and a beautiful heart, but he's always convicted that what he wants is best. And most of the time he's right. But I grew up being the detail guy because the only way I thought I had a chance of convincing him of something was to have the facts. But even when I had them, after 10 minutes in the dairy parlor, he convinced me I was wrong. But he's been a wonderful example of priesthood. He and I worked together often. He was always the idea guy. And I'd say, that sounds like a great idea. We'll clean out all the trees. He goes, yeah, why don't you get started on it tomorrow? Mom was so wonderful. Everyone said it last night that her virtues and her gifts and her ability to give her full attention, I never heard her complain once. Tom said that we made her angry a handful of times. I was a little confused. I didn't know if it was 4 or 5. So I want to go through a bit of mom's living out what she heard in the scriptures and the teachings of the church. And she, in a very real way, emulated this. I don't know whose quote it is, but I think in IPF they teach it, that in order to know Jesus, you need two things. You need to know his mother Mary and the Holy Spirit, the spouse of Mary. How Jesus became present in her is how he comes, how we come to know him, and he becomes real to us by the example of Mary and the gift of the Holy Spirit, to receive those gifts, to understand that things aren't always as they see. As they look, because mom knew the reality in her heart of pondering these mysteries that aren't so obvious to us. Very much like Mary, that line in the gospel, she pondered these things in her heart. Why? Because they were joyful? No, they were hard to understand. And so she didn't complain about this exteriorly. She held it interiorly. She found God in her heart, not in activity. One of the things I want to follow more and more in my mother, she could care less about sporting events or who wins the Super Bowl or what's going on in politics. That didn't influence her, didn't change her reality. Her reality was to be faithful to God and any person that came to her. She didn't do things out of duty, but she did a lot of things that looked like duty. But they weren't just doing them because they were needed. It was because she loved and it benefited others. I get too caught up in just doing it out of duty. Some people like that. It's helpful when you have somebody that's willing to do something for you that you need. But when love and joy is lacking, we become grumpy. We start counting. Mom never counted how many times she was good to us and how many times we were bad. This is a gift of God and knowing him in her heart. A lot of things in what Jesus says are counterintuitive. like the first will be last. If you die, you'll live. If you give away everything you have, you'll become rich. She came to understand these things in a real way and didn't just talk about them, but gave the example of what that looks like. This is the beautiful woman that we're here. We're here to pray for. We're here to thank God for. And we're here to try to emulate and take on what she taught us to do. She was childlike. And she allowed us to be responsible. I had some privileges that the others didn't, and with privilege comes some kind of suffering. If I'd call it a privilege to be diagnosed with diabetes just before I turned 10, it only can be a privilege if it's something that brought me closer to Mom. She always was the one whenever I think I had a good life and I think I'm kind of healthy, but when I go through the list, I think, wow, I'm not healthy at all. I had diabetes by 10, had a tumor removed from my back when I was a young priest. I had blood poisoning when I was wrestling and went to the hospital, but every time I went to the hospital, she was there. When I'd go to my appointments, I was 11 years old. And the doctor would look at her and say, how's diabetes going? She goes, you got to ask him. He's the one that does it. I just bring him here to go to the appointment. She would share a little bit, but she always gave me the opportunity to be accountable. She gave me the freedom to be able to become a young man. When I was 14, I drove my little brother, Andy. Andy's the one everyone knows here, right? Andy's the true favorite. Right, Andy? Yes. You want to know childlike? Talk with Andy for a while, and he will reveal what that looks like. He only wants to be happy and want everyone to be happy. Every time I give him a hard time about the Vikings, he says, David, be nice. That's required to watch the Vikings. You have to be generous. I want to just end by sharing a prayer that actually I wrote on a retreat that I think would speak to us what was going on in Mom's heart every day. It's a prayer of surrender, an act of trust in God. It goes like this. My act of surrender to you, Lord, I know, just as you do, that if I try to do things alone, I will often fail. But if in doing it, I trust with your grace, all things become possible. I will choose to see every moment as your gift. I will not be discouraged. I will come to you and tell you what I need, placing it in your hands, confident that what is given or not given is your desire for my good. I will thank you for everything, that which appears to be delightful, as well as that which appears difficult, for in it you are found. I trust that all that happens is under your care and is thus carefully given for my good. I surrender my very self to you and your care. Do as you wish, my dear Lord. Amen. The day after she passed, one of the antiphons I thought would be the appropriate way to make a statement here to end the homily. And I think we can all take this with us. Our compassionate Lord has left us a memorial of his wonderful work was found in knowing Mary Richter. Brothers and sisters, we are sad that we won't be able to stop and talk to her, but let us rejoice that she has prepared well for the destiny that she was made for, to be in the presence of God for all eternity. And the greatest thing that would disappoint her, what would disappoint her most of all, if any of us don't take to heart being ready for our death and not be ready to join her, is what would displease her most of all. So if you've been distant from the sacraments, distant from God, she's begging you and willing that you and I would make a change in that and follow her example to find peace and willingness to suffer graciously, to accept others, and to be patient. This is the movement of her heart that is still flowing and being shared with God. So let us rejoice as we participate in this holy offering of the Mass for her eternal well-being. Thank you for your love and prayers and for being here to experience this beautiful reality of burying and having a funeral Mass and burying somebody that taught us how to love God. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father where he intercedes for his church, confident that God hears the voices of those who trust in the Lord Jesus. We join our prayers to his.
For Mary Rose, who in baptism was given the pledge of eternal life, that she may now be admitted to the company of the saints, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our sister who ate the body of Christ, the bread of life, that she may be raised up on the last day, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Many friends and members of our families have gone before us and await the kingdom. Grant them an everlasting home with your Son. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
The family and friends of Mary Rose need comfort and consolation. Heal their pain and dispel the darkness and doubt that come from grief. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We are assembled here in faith and confidence to pray for all of our deceased family and friends. Strengthen our hope so that we may live in the expectation of your Son's coming. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. May the prayers of those who cry to you benefit the souls of your servants, O Lord. Free them, we pray, from all their sins and make them sharers in your redemption. Through Christ our Lord. Everyone, please be seated for the preparation of the altar.
Please join in singing number 591, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, number 591.
More.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. As we humbly present to you these sacrificial offerings, O Lord, for the salvation of your servant Mary, we beseech your mercy that she who did not doubt your Son to be a loving Savior may find in him a merciful judge who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. In Him, the hope of blessed resurrection has dawned, that those saddened by the certainty of dying might be consoled by the promise of immortality to come. Indeed, for your faithful, Lord, life is changed, not ended. And when this earthly dwelling turns to dust, an eternal dwelling is made ready for them in heaven. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Gives you praise, for through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. Bishop Kagan.
May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help.
May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, David, our Bishop, me, your unworthy servant, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world.
Remember your servant Mary, whom you have called from this world to yourself. Grant that she who is united with your Son in a death like his may also be one with him in his resurrection, when from the earth he will raise up in the flesh those who have died, and transform our lowly body after the pattern of his own glorious body. To our departed brothers and sisters too, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, when you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. For seeing you, our God, as you are, we shall be like you for all the ages and praise you without end. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of your
Son. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, Christ. What do I do? Do I take this? The body of Christ.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all.
Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ.
Let us pray. Lord God, whose Son left us in the sacrament of his body, food for the journey, mercifully grant that, strengthened by it, our sister Mary may come to the eternal table of Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. I want to give a simple one word of gratitude to Bishop Vetter and Bishop Kagan for your presence here. So kind of you, bishops, to be here and take time out of your busy day. Mom would be most grateful, as well as my brother priests. Brother priests, thank you for your love and your support and your prayers, your presence, for coming to pray and offer Mom to God. May you be blessed in your priesthood today. Now the prayer of commendation. Immediately following the massive Christian burial, everyone, you're invited to the Eagles for a time of food and fellowship. And then immediately following that, at about 2-ish, 2:15, we'll make our way to Minokan Cemetery for the burial. All are welcome. Before we go our separate ways, let us take leave of our mom. May our farewell express our affection for her. May it ease our sadness and strengthen our hope. One day we shall joyfully greet her again when the love of Christ, which conquers all things, destroys even death itself. Please join in the song of farewell.
Number 134.
Into your hands, Father of mercies, we commend our sister Mary in the sure and certain hope that together with all who have died in Christ, she will rise with him on the last day. We give you thanks for the blessings which you bestowed upon Mom in this life. They are signs to us of your goodness and of our fellowship with the saints in Christ. Merciful Lord, turn toward us and listen to our prayers. Open the gates of paradise to your servant and help us who remain to comfort one another with assurances of faith until we all meet in Christ and are with you and with our sister forever. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. In peace, let us take our sister to her place of rest.
Please join in singing number 589, O God Beyond All Praising, number 589.
Accept the Lord.